Their brother, Mr. Wells.
Turn with me, please, to the book of Genesis, chapter 22, reading from verse 2. He said, "Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee unto the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering in one of the mountains which I will tell thee of." Verse 5. And Abraham said unto his young men, "Bide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you." Abraham took the wood, the burnt offering, laid it upon Isaac his son. He took the fire in his hand, and a knife, and they went both of them together. Isaac spake unto his father, said, "My father," he said, "here am I, my son." He said, "Behold the fire and the wood. Where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." So they went both of them together, and they came to the place which God had told them of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order, bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. The angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." He said, "Here am I." He said, "Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me." And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by the horns. And Abraham went and took the ram, and offered him for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, "In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen." The angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, "By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice." And that's all I read. You've heard already from the epistle of James has to do with their life. We've heard again concerning from the tabernacle, the lampstand, and the golden altar in its applications to the local assembly. What I want you to notice now is one individual. And I want you to notice this one individual in his great confidence in God. You know, when we get saved, we learn bit by bit. And we learn as we pass through the world. We learn many things, and we are up against many things. And as time goes on, as we go on in the things of God, and the years pass, we certainly need confidence in God. Now, it's a long time since I first heard the gospel message and the first meetings that I sat in, and the night that I was saved, is a long time. But one looks back over those long years and thanks God for His preservation and protection, and caused us have some little confidence in our God. Young folks starting, you need to have confidence in God. You need to set your life out in such a manner that you need to have that confidence in God to be able to continue. I want you to notice from this chapter, very familiar chapter indeed, there are many things in it, but what I want you to notice is Abraham's test. God said to Abraham, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, and offer him for a burnt offering in one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Abraham never faltered, never faltered. He rose up, 3 days' journey, with the two lads, an Isaac and an ass. And he never faltered to hear God's voice, to offer his son at Mount Moriah. First thing I want you to notice is this, his great self-denial, his abnegation. He's taking his only Isaac, in whom is wrapped of all the present, all the promises of the God of all grace. You know, Abraham had many tests. It was a test when the God of glory called him out of the land of Chaldeans. And he broke every cord. He severed every relationship to come into the land of promise. When Ishmael was 13 years of age, Sarah says to Abraham, he won't bear with my son. Cast out the bondwoman and her son. And it grieved Abraham. When God said to Abraham, Sarah is right. And Abraham cast out the bondwoman and her son, another great test. Again, when they came up, Abraham and Lot out of Egypt, they were very rich in silver and gold, and also with much flocks and herds. And you know the story how the herdmen got to loggerheads with each other. Abraham says to Lot, you take the right hand and I'll take the left. And Lot took the well waters of play of Sodom. But Abraham took the mountain and took it with God. You know, God spoke to Abraham. Perhaps some 8 or 9 times he appeared to him. And he appeared to him on that occasion when he separated from Lot. But when we come to Genesis chapter 22, it's his supreme test. Perhaps he's 40 years now in the land of Canaan. Take now thy son, thine only Isaac. Put him on the altar on Mount Moriah as a burnt offering to me, says God. You're well aware that the burnt offering laid on the altar, it went up as incense to God. And you know, Abraham never faltered. That marvelous self-denial of that marvelous pilgrim and a stranger. Dear brothers and sisters, you know we all have to pass through tests. God had only one beloved son. But he had no sons without being tested. Otherwise, they're bastards. And so, my dear brethren and sisters, remember, young or old in this ministry meeting, whether you live long or short, the days will come when you'll have to meet the tests of God. What do you need? Confidence in God. Confidence in that one who called, who saved you. The one who planted the Spirit of God in your body, the temple of the Holy Ghost. The one who gave you eternal life. A Son of God, an heir of heaven. The one whom we have heard made us priests to enter and worship before our God. The first thing I want you to notice is his abnegation, his self-denial. Now, we were to go to the Gospels, we could enlarge on that. But I know the time is short, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to leave that first point with you. May the God of all grace teach us that we need self-denial to glorify our God. Next thing I want you to notice, when they got there to the mountain, Abraham said to the lads, remain here, and Isaac will go yonder and worship and come again. The next thing in his test is worship. What is he going to give? His son. God didn't ask for silver nor gold, nor flocks nor herds, nor for any of those 118 servants born in his home. No, he says, give me thine only Isaac. Lay him on the altar. Give him for me. And Abraham never faltered his confidence in the living and the true God. My dear father and mother, if God asked you for a son, for a daughter, to go forth in his work, would you bow your bosom, bow your heart, bow your all to God, and say, yes, I'll be like Abraham, take him. Would you wonder if he's going to lose a great position, or he's going to lose some other thing great? And you'd wonder, how shall I part with him? My dear brethren and sisters, God gave his only son for you and for me. He left the highest heights above, adored by all the sons of flame. Such was his self-denying love. He laid aside his crown and came, and at the cost to save the lost of heavenly rank and earthly fame, he saved me, blessed be his name. If God has given the best of heaven for us, Gentiles in the flesh, one time without God, without Christ, and without hope, oh, may God speak to our every heart, no matter what the test may be, that God will give us strength and grace from his hand, that we may be able to bow. You know, laying upon the altar, it was all going up to God. Worship, a giving to God. You know, sometimes we sit in our morning meetings, when we pass the minutes, 10, 15, 20 minutes, there's not a note of worship and adoration and praise. Oh, may God help us. So that's the next point I want you to notice, is washing in his test. But he says, I and the lad will go yonder and wash it and come again. Further down, Isaac says to his father, Father, there's the knife, and there's the wound. Where is the lamb? Father said, God will provide a burnt offering. What is it? His faith. You know, Abraham was the father of that great nation, wasn't he? Abraham was a friend of God. Being a friend of God, just like Christ, he imparted his knowledge to Abraham. Abraham was the father of the faithful, but he was a friend of God. And you know, as he listened to God, his faith never faltered. He staggered not at unbelief. My dear friends, he came to the foot of the mountain, and he laid the wood on Isaac's shoulder. And Isaac looked at the knife and the fire, and he knew someone was going to be sacrificed. And so on that holy mount, up the wind to the mount above. And what is it here? His faith. His faith in God. You know, it's not sometimes so easy to have faith in God. When we trusted Christ at the first, we put our faith in Christ, didn't we? I remember after I was saved for a number of years, and in Venezuela during the war, I remember one morning coming down out of the bedroom, and my wife hadn't been too well, and I came down about 5 in the morning to go out to the to the marketplace to buy a few chattels for the day. And when I came in, I said, look, Isabel, that's the last. There's no more money in the house. That's the last. I went down, I tore off the calendar, and on that morning, the 13th of November, 1941, I read these words. Jesus stood on the shore. What was he doing on the shore with the breakfast for those who fished all night and caught nothing? I took it up to my wife. I said, look, Isabel, look what it says on the calendar. As I hope the Lord will be on the shore tomorrow for us. You know, God is always as good as his word. I went out that afternoon, the 13th of November 1941, 40 years ago. I met the postman. He says, there's a letter. And it has come by Maracaibo. And it came 4 days early, and he handed it into my hand. I opened it, and in that letter there was £25. £25 in 1941 to me was a fortune. I wasn't long till I was home to my wife. Oh, how we would, in the midst of all our tests, how we would falter. May God help us this evening that we may trust our God. But not only so, when they went further up, and Abraham raised his halter, and he bound Isaac and put him on the altar, and he got to the critical moment, and he lifted the knife to sacrifice his son. The angel from heaven says, Abraham, Abraham, lay not thine hand upon the lad. Now I know thou fears God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy Son, thine only Son, from me. Not only abnegation and worship and faith, but the fear of God was in Abraham's heart. And he could not refuse the very word of God. You know, that's what we need. We need the fear of God. Young men and young women starting, listen to the words of an old man from the book of God this evening, that may grip your heart and your soul, and try and walk with God to hear His voice. No matter what the tests may come, God will sustain you. I must live on. Not only did he refer to the fear of God, but further down he says, thou hast obeyed my voice. Implicit obedience. Obedience is greater than sacrifice. The obedience from his heart that God looked upon him and God honored him. And do you know, when we read in Hebrews chapter 11, God would honor Abraham as if he had actually laid Isaac upon the altar and God raised him from the dead. I know this is all typical, but that's not my point. And so therefore you can see in these tests how Abraham was able to deny himself and worship God and put faith in God, and not only so, he could be the very fear of God in his heart. And not more than that, he was right obedient to the very last letter. May God help us. What was the outcome? Well, the outcome, Abraham says, this mountain, what is it? It's Jehovah Jireh. What does it mean? The Lord shall see, and the Lord shall provide. That was the first thing. He learned the truth of Jehovah Jireh. God just waited to the critical moment and tested him to the very moment. But he found Abraham his confidence in God, and he knew he would raise him from the dead. What more did he say? He says, by myself have I sworn that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplied I will multiply thee. And of thy seed, he speaks, they shall possess the gate of their enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. What is it? The revelation of God to Abraham. The word of his promise, confirmed by the word of his oath, that God that cannot lie will fulfill it. What will it mean? He says, Abraham, your seed through Isaac will be as the sand of the seashore for multitude. They will be as the stars of heaven for multitude. And he renews the promise again to Abraham as he stands on that mountain away up there at Mount Moriah. And Abraham looked at this, but not only saw, he said something more. He said, in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. In Galatians chapter 3, Paul said that seed is singular, and that seed is Christ. God is no man's debtor. God will bless those of us if we are able. We have no room to boast, dear brethren. We need grace from God. We need power from God. We need guidance from God. And we need to know something of the Word of God. Now, I know you heard great teachings from the Word, and I was sitting listening, And I've read my Bible for 60 years from I was saved. But with all that, we're only treading the very verge. And when there is difference of our interpretation of the Word of God, it shows us that God's Word is divine and that we haven't sufficient spirituality to really see the very guidance of God. And we really need to wait on God even in our teachings and the things of God. And as I close with my short little message, I hope it will reach the hearts of all our folks. You're well aware that I speak very little in meetings like this, although I have preached again and again for years and years in Spanish, even to greater congregations than this. And how they listen to the Word of God, those Venezuelans emancipated from Romanism, thousands of them listening to the truth of the living God. May God bless His truth with already with what we have heard and what we'll yet hear, that we'll go home from this conference meeting with our hearts warmed to live for our God and to glorify His blessed song.